What's going on, guys? I'm Alex. Welcome to another episode of the BSR Show. We are the Black Series Rebels. With me, as always, is my boy, Stephen Ellis.
Hey, Alex. How are you?
Feeling good. Feeling good. Down the hallway. Doors open. Fog comes out of the door. A green lightsaber ignites, and we see the one we've been waiting for, Cisco Kid.
What's up, dudes? What's going on, my dudes?
Wrestling intro, Cisco. Gotta do it. Gotta do it.
And 13-time champion. No.
So we full transparency, full disclosure. We are re-recording the episode that is supposed to be airing today because for some reason we're like, fuck it, let's make a lot of predictions about what will happen on the Mando. And not only were we wrong, we were like dumb and dumber. Samsonite, I was way off. Like, we were, boy, oh boy. I believe the direct quote was, Luke is just too good to be true. So before we get into the Mandalorian breakdown, we're gonna retrace some steps. We'll let you guys in behind the curtain. So we had already recorded this conversation, but fuck it. Steve, when you reflect on 2020, what are some of the highs before we get into the lows?
Oh man, the highs, the amount of time I got to spend with my wife, my daughter. You know, I don't think I would have gotten to witness my daughter taking her first steps if it wasn't because we were in quarantine. So that was a pretty big thing. And then actually, you know, even though I think it would be fair to say that at times we, all three of us, got frustrated with sort of the pandemic, obviously, but also sort of what kind of corner it painted us into for a little bit on this show. And I really, really enjoy sort of, even though we had to kind of go through that, I'm really enjoying, I feel like we're all having like a lot of fun doing the show right now. And I'm really happy. I think we're in a really good place. And I'm really happy about that. And even though sometimes as frustrating as the journey was to get to this point in the show, it was worth it. And I'm really enjoying where we're going. So, you know, that's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for this night every week.
Cisco, what are some highlights for you?
Oh man. Well, I think some of the same things that Steve just mentioned, but, you know, also very grateful and blessed to be able to maintain work throughout the year. My wife and I being able to work from home, the amount of time that afforded us to be able to spend with our girls, as opposed to being, you know, having to commute to and from work every day. You know, and then on a selfish note, you know, obviously I'm super grateful that the Dodgers and the Lakers both won championships this year. yeah. I've been feeling that vibe, and you know, basketball's about to start again. So yeah, I'm ready for it. Caught some dubs on some sneakers that I wanted and some other cool gear that I was looking for. Bunch of Dodgers and Lakers championship gears piled up. So yeah, dude. Lots of stuff to be grateful for in this crazy, crazy year. But yes, also very much looking forward to every week being able to meet up with you dudes and do this fun thing and just kind of nerd out with my homies.
Yes. I am very grateful for the creative year that I had. I had a very good, creatively fulfilling, taking steps forward in my career in a way that I'm incredibly grateful for, you know, that, cause it is not lost on me that that's not something that's easy to do in a year like this, where a lot of people are either struggling to keep a job or struggling to keep the hours for the they had. So I am incredibly grateful that I've managed to, you know, get ahead in some places creatively. That is, you know, that's a huge, big old win for me. I would say, you know, the quarantine sessions were interesting. Some of my favorite stuff we did ever was in the quarantine sessions, because there are some episodes where, like, boy, oh boy, did we lose our goddamn minds. We were
next level.
Truly,
We transcended.
Like, honestly, those are going to go, people are going to go back and look at those and they're going to be like, this is like a 6 month period where these dudes are like losing their minds together. Like, they're losing patience with each other. They're losing patience with the medium. They're ready to quit. And that's what I'm the most proud of when it comes to BSR. Like, it would have been so easy for us to just be like, eh, I'm done. Or just let's sell some pins. Yeah. Let's clear out the stock and let's just call it. Let's call it. Like, we don't want to put this. Yep. Thank you. I'm telling you, all I see is just a chubby kid dropping his ice cream when that happens. That's a chubby kid dropping his ice cream music for sure.
Yep.
I'm really glad that we were able to sort of tune out the misery of 2020 and kind of use this as an oasis. And hopefully the people listening felt like, I know I've had a lot of people say to me that they felt our energy change after the quarantine sessions. A lot of people have said the show is like, it feels like the old show again, like 2 years ago, pre us just miserable talking about the same fan discourse or whatever item we were having to sort of like use as a catalyst to have our conversations. And I think people are picking up rightfully on the fact that we are happier in this format of the show. And that I'm really grateful for, is not giving up on it and pushing it to a place where I think it got even better. So I'm very grateful for that. It would have been very easy for us to throw in the towel. It would have just been, you know, but we didn't do that. We said, you know what? We're going to find the version of this show. We're going to get focused. We're going to stay on task. And I think it shows. So I'm looking forward to a great 2021 with you boys. I'm also looking forward to not recording a podcast for 3 weeks after this episode. I'm going to put my feet up, play a little Jedi Fallen Order. Going to finish that bad boy up. Got to bring you boys your Christmas gifts. Just got all kinds of fun stuff to do. But it wouldn't be the end of the year and it wouldn't be December without talking about some Star Wars goodness that happened for all of us this year. We want to break down the next, or I guess we have two episodes of The Mandalorian to break down. However, I think too, what might be kind of fun is just to talk about our overall fandom within that conversation. So without any further ado, for the last time this minty freshness, let's get hyped on some Mandalorian. All right. It happened. We did it. The Mandalorian season 2 finale is upon us. A lot of people had childhood dreams come true. A lot of people had real visceral reactions to this. This was definitely a choice of an episode. And I think a lot of people got a lot of stuff that they were really hoping for. I know Steel Saunders was found dead in the Los Angeles River. So a lot of good things happened.
Real quick, though, before we get into the finale, do we want to talk about episode 15?
Sure. Let's talk about episode 15. To be honest with you, Cisco, hit us on what the fuck happens in episode 15, because I kind of forgot after the finale.
Episode 15 is, I think, a little slept on, because I think that everybody was anticipating the finale, and 15 is good. Yes.
Bill Burr.
Episode. So this is my favorite episode of the season.
All right. So Steve, hit. Why did you like this episode so much?
So as we got into the sequel trilogy and we got into sort of the Disney era of Star Wars, I didn't know that I'm a crazy dude for the original trilogy. And I never could have imagined that I would have gotten on board as much as I did with new characters. and how like the events of past films may have affected them, more so especially because of Rogue One. Like, I think the reason I reacted so well to Rogue One is because, I don't know, I found it interesting outside of the Skywalker saga to see how the events have affected all these different people in the galaxy. And it really hit me for the first time this season on an emotional level, actually. Because sometimes I think I complain that I don't get much of an emotional value out of this show, personally. Mm-hmm. I really got one in that mess hall with Bill Burr and sort of even his lead up of his questioning and whatnot and antagonizing Mando on the way to that spot. And sort of
the Imperial cafeteria.
Exactly. Like, there was something about it with him and everything that, like, I don't know. I really like, it was probably the, in my opinion, the best acting of this entire series.
100% agree.
100%. It's the best acting of the entire.
And who would have guessed that it would have been Bill Burr?
I hated him. Crushed it. Yeah. And I love Bill Burr, but I didn't really care for him the first time we saw him.
I've never looked. I think Bill Burr is a funny stand-up comedian. I don't have an opinion of him as an actor, really. I don't think that he's really done anything to impress me. I mean, he's fine in Breaking Bad and the other roles that I've seen him in, but like nothing like this, which is a very subtle performance in this episode, a very subtle performance, a very nuanced and he's stretching his acting legs and successfully.
Well, he's definitely the standout in the Pete Davidson movie that came out earlier in quarantine, King of Staten Island. Like, if you were to watch that movie, I would say watch it for Bill Burr. Like, that was the moment that I was like, oh, wow, this dude can act. Because, again, I did not care for his introduction in the first season that much. And then, yeah, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I had a real connection with that episode for some reason that I haven't felt in Star Wars in a while.
Yeah, it didn't resonate with me like it did with you guys. Maybe there's a possibility that I was probably a little distracted. You know, I watched them at midnight.
Right.
I watch them at midnight, right when they air. It's possible I was tired and it just wasn't holding my attention and I didn't go back and watch it because nothing particularly like, oh shit happened. But I was like, I gotta go back and watch that episode. So, you know, I don't think I'm sleeping on it, but I think I'll probably give it, maybe I'll watch that again leading into the finale just to sort of give it another good swing. You know, it's interesting. I watch those movies over and over and over again, but I don't do that with The Mandalorian. I don't watch the episodes over and over again. I'll watch them. I think the most I've watched an episode is maybe twice, three times. I don't go back to them because I don't feel this. There's no ritual of going to the theater. It just doesn't feel as ritualistic to me. So there's something about just knowing it's there makes me not go back to it as much. So I really liked the episode. I think I agree with both of you guys that it is by far lights out the best acting of the season. And the fact that it comes from Bill Burr is, I think, says something a little bit. I wonder if, and as we get into the conversation about what's to come with The Mandalorian, I wonder if they aren't going to make a concerted effort to go for maybe some unknowns for some of this stuff. Not that Bill Burr is an unknown, but he's unexpected, right? Pedro Pascal was already in Game of Thrones, really blossoming as a really, really, really sought after actor. Whereas
Narcos,
Bill Burr,
Narcos is a big one for him.
Narcos, yes. Like, Pedro Pascal is one of the best actors on TV. So when he got announced in Mandalorian, it's like, well, that's a given. When Bill Burr got announced, everybody went, Bill Burr is going to be in The Mandalorian? And I think that might be a good thing for Star Wars TV to sort of try to do what the movies do, which is make unexpected choices. But hard to say. Not that like Bill Burr is the best actor in the world, but I do think he has provided us with some of the best, if not the best, acting of the entire series.
I also think that the tail end of this season brought my favorite episodes of the entire show. And I think maybe this show is sort of figuring out what it is, you know, and what works. That season one has its ups and downs. And I think for a good reason, because, you know, they're trying to be one thing and appeal to a very wide and general audience, which I think it did. And I think this season, especially towards the end, it looks like they're trying to get a little more specific with what they're trying to do. And I mean, with the end of the season, we know that things are going to change going into season three. So I think that that's a good thing. I think that, you know, figuring out what works by seeing what doesn't work is a good experiment to be able to work from.
Yeah. So it sounds like we all liked the episode with Bill Burr. Some of us, it was our favorite, but we think we can agree that it's some of the best work the Mandalorian has done thus far.
Character building wise, I think so.
Character building wise is probably the best work of the show so far. Now we kind of go into something a little different. This finale, I would say, is the action, sort of like the opposite side of that coin, where this is probably the Mandalorian action, Mandalorian at its most cinematic when it comes to traditional Star Wars lightsaber fighting, spaceships flying, blasters, troopers, Rebel Alliance. The finale really gives us a look at that side of Star Wars. So obviously a lot of things happen in this episode, some of which is going to be a little divisive. Some of it is going to be totally mind blowing. But before we get into like the specifics of what happened, let's just go down the line, starting with Cisco. What is like a part that you just were like, maybe avoiding the last 15 minutes? Was there anything that stuck out to you as being really awesome just from the start?
Two things. The space fight with Boba and the TIE fighters. I love that. It blew my mind. And then the fight with Mando and the, what are they called? The shock troops or whatever?
Dark troopers.
The dark troopers, where he's getting his head smashed into the wall. I was like, what is happening right now? He's just getting pummeled into the wall. Oh, man. That I was losing my shit during that whole thing.
What about you, Steve-O?
Alex, you're going to fucking hate me for this. First up was the space battle that Cisco mentioned. But there's a moment I keep thinking about, and again, it makes me resonate about the last episode. Cara Dune, Miss woman that likes to block Alex Backus on Twitter, Gina Carano. I liked the moment. Like, it's probably not the best acted moment, but I liked the moment between her and the pilots of the shuttle, where the dude basically kills the other pilot and then has the gun up to the doctor's head. And,
oh, it was very Han Solo.
It was, but it was like this moment of like, you know, he references her teardrop and Alderaan and the Death Star, and basically he's just talking shit to her. And I don't know. There was a moment and a look in her face where it's like, again, the events of the past that has like completely affected these people's lives and the routes that they've chosen. And I find that really interesting. And I'm surprised that I do with characters that are not Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, and Leia.
Interesting. Yeah, the space battle definitely sticks out for me. Once they were on the ship, I was pretty plugged in and invested. I think what it does really well is the whole episode is kind of a nice, really like upward trajectory leading to what you're going to get. Right. And that to me is what I really, really dug about it. Like everything that happens kind of happens for a purpose. So a good example is the Dark Trooper, right? Like Mandalorian's got to clear out all his bells and whistles before he can get to Giancarlo Esposito. So, but we also need to know that those things are like not to be messed with. Like Mando barely gets one of them down and there's like 30 of them. So you're like, all right, they're fucked. They can't handle these things. These things are crazy. So it really just kind of builds nicely. So I think just the progression of the episode is what I was really, really, really excited about. Okay. So now if you're listening to this, we know you've watched it at this point. And if you haven't watched it, it's already been spoiled for you on social media. So we can't really spoil it.
Turn off the podcast right now if you haven't watched
it. If you haven't watched it and you're like, I'm going to listen to what these guys have to say about it before I watch it, you're a psycho. Go watch it and then come back and listen to us gush about it. All hopes lost. Giancarlo Esposito gives one negative thing. His monologue's there's some weird acting moments with him. He surprisingly, because I think he's probably the finest actor.
I agree.
On the show.
It felt like he thought he was in something different.
It was a little surprising. And maybe I'm just like not understanding what it was like on the day. Maybe it was more complicated than it looks. But go ahead, Cisco.
I think that's been his performance throughout the entire show. Every time he's on the show, I think he just is like this like mustache twirling villain that's got the princess on the train tracks. Like, it's campy, it's silly, it's over the top. So like,
I mean,
it's not great acting in my opinion compared to the other stuff that I've seen him do, but it's also not inconsistent with like what he's done in the past. So it doesn't like bump me necessarily in that way.
I just really liked him in that episode where the first season one, where he's like, you have something I want. He felt really, really, really plugged in that. And maybe it's just the writing too. It might not even just be him. That was the only part of the episode where I was a little like, what's happening here? And obviously it's leading up to this big moment, right? Yeah. They had to kind of figure out a way to get them organically into this room with all hope is lost, with they're basically cornered, so that we could have this like big, big moment. Obviously, Grogu puts his little hand, or no, Grogu kind of closed his eyes, and I was like, okay, here we go. He's doing it. He's reaching out through the Force. Whoever is coming is now coming. At what point were you guys like, holy shit, it's Luke? Was it the X-Wing?
I honestly, everything that they showed made me think like, oh, is it going to be Luke? But then the back of my mind, I was just like, they're going to throw a Deke in there. You know what I mean? Like the whole time when they kept his face covered and he's got the hood over, I'm like, is it going to be Leia? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like something. I was like, does she have his saber? Like, what is happening right now? But I didn't want to let myself believe that it was going to be Luke the whole time. But it was amazing to watch throughout the entire thing. And then when the reveal actually happened, I lost my shit. Like, I'm not going to lie. I texted you guys. I jumped out of my seat. I fucking teared up. I was like, probably I was the most excited out of the three of us. I don't know. But I felt like it for sure. And I was texting all of my friends that had watched it already. And, you know, we were just losing it together. So, you know, it was Jedi Luke is my favorite character, has always been my favorite character, will always be my favorite character. And being able to see him do some fucking rad shit was really awesome for me.
Go ahead, Steve-O. Thoughts on Luke? Unless you want me to go first and you want to round us out.
No. I think that, first of all, I thought the X-Wing scene, I thought like, so with all full transparency, it was fucking ruined for me. I woke up that morning and a coworker had texted me, and a coworker who probably meant well and just knows that I host some Star Wars fucking podcast and just figured I would have stayed.
Just assumed you would watch it at midnight.
I had seen it at midnight. So, full transparency, it was pretty much
ruined. I tried to beat you guys. I tried to tell you. I was like, I got to tell you guys got my text. I know first thing in the morning. I was like, stay the fuck off social media, because it was trending at 1:30 a.m.
Yeah.
I was like, they're fucked. They're going to wake up and they're going to know what happened. So go on, Steve.
So that definitely changed my complete experience of this.
It makes it hurt a little bit.
I'm a little bummed about it. However, there's still a part of you that thinks like, oh, maybe not. Like, maybe not. And so you watch it and it's like with the X-Wing thing, I felt like all season they were kind of teasing up the possibility that the audience would think, oh, they want us to think it's Luke, but it's probably those Ranger dudes or whatever that keep popping up throughout the season randomly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's what Lisa
thought.
I think that's what the intention was. I don't know how well it was pulled off, but so I became really conflicted with this episode. I watched
it. You imagine if it had been Dave Filoni and that guy got out of the X-Wing?
And I thought to myself, no fucking way. There's no way. So I watched it the first time. And I had a lot of thoughts. Like, I was super excited. I loved seeing Luke and everything. But then I got caught up in the way in which they did it, as opposed to the story. And I got caught up, and I was just like, oh, it takes me out of it. The CGI stuff, the this and that. Like, it's just not, you know, I started to like think too much about that and not what I just experienced and the story point of it. And I started to go down a fucking path where I just was like, man, I wish I loved this. I wish I liked it. Like, you know, and I know Cisco loved it. I had a lot of people that loved it. And then I saw a lot of stuff online of people either bashing it as fan service on one end, or people who were bashing the Disney era of Star Wars, you know, especially with a meme where it's just like, hold my beer or something with Favreau. And it started to piss me off on both sides of things. And so I kind of got consumed for about 24 hours with that bubble around this episode. And I think it made me come off like I didn't like the episode, when in actuality, I didn't like the discourse that was going on around it. And I quickly had to remind myself why we as a show intentionally stepped out of that world.
Yeah.
And so I went back and I gave myself 24 hours. I didn't even want to talk about it with you guys over the text thread, you know, and it was just like, I don't want to be on the shit parade here. So I let 24 hours pass. I watched Rogue One. I watched Empire Strikes Back. I watched Return of the Jedi. And then I went back and I rewatched the episode. And I really enjoyed the episode, you know, because on one hand, it's like, fuck yeah, I've always wanted to see confident, I'm the fucking Jedi. Like, I just saved the galaxy, and this is how we're going to, you know, I wanted to see that Luke, you know, that, you know, we didn't get to see, an understandably so and justifiably so, in the sequel trilogy, you know what I mean? And so I really just needed to not get caught up on the way it was done or the discourse on the internet, because at the end of the day, the internet's not the real world. And I really had to just enjoy it for what it was, and like, I really enjoyed it. It was really good. I still can't believe they fucking did that. you know, I still have parts of me that go, I've always wanted that. I'm glad I got that. I don't know if I need it again right now. I don't know if that makes sense. Like,
sure.
So, I don't know. That's where I'm at with it. How about you, Alex?
So I watched it at midnight. We watched, Aaron and I had been doing a Harry Potter marathon over the last like 2 weeks, and it was midnight, and I was like, oh shit, Mandalorian finale. I'm like, I gotta do it. And she's like, I'll watch it with you. You know, I'm up. We turned it on and it started. And I, like, full transparency, I thought everything leading up to that last, basically like once they're on the ship, I was like, this is fine. Like, I was plugged in. I liked it. I liked the Boba space battle, but it wasn't clicking. And then that X-Wing flew in, and I instantly knew. I was like, okay, it's Luke. It's for sure Luke. It's nobody else. And I started to get really amped and excited. I got like, I jumped off the couch. Sarah was like, I was like, holy shit, it's Luke. It's Luke. It's going to be Luke. And when he fucking walked in with the green blade and started going ham, I was like, I kept saying, I can't believe they're doing this. I can't believe they're actually doing this. Excuse me. I didn't think that was ever going to happen, especially not in Mandalorian. I thought we might get lucky and get Jedi Luke in something, you know, down the line. But the fact that we were getting it like that in Mandalorian, in such a, it very much pulled a cue from Rogue One. It was like, take the legacy character, have him kick fucking ass for 10 minutes, and then have him walk away and be like, just a reminder, we're still king shit of the galaxy. The Skywalkers and the Jedi and the Sith and everybody, we're where it's at. This is all leading to serve this overall story of light and dark. And not that you guys are, it's not that Mandalorian is a supporting show. It's not, but it all is in service of this greater story of the light and the dark. And at first, as Luke was like, I loved it. I loved it. I love it. And full transparency, he popped his hood off and I went, womp, womp. I was really bummed that they did it as a digital effect. Because, and this is my only logic why, I really want you guys to know, I loved it. It was great. My whole thing was, I want them to rip the Band-Aid off, because I don't mind if they recast these characters at this point. I wanted Sebastian Stan, or I wanted any number of great actor to be Luke, and then just establish it. Okay, cool. From now on, it's that character. And then I had a night to sleep on it. Then I slept on it. And Steve and I chat, Cisco, you text me. I talked about it with Nick Gambarian, Ken Knapsack, bunch of other people. Then I went and watched it again. And then I realized I was wrong about wanting it to be recast. And I watched just that Luke part. I was like, I'm going to watch that Luke part. I'm going to separate everything out, and I'm going to watch this thing I've wanted since I was 6 years old. And I watched it happen again. All expectations aside, it's fucking great. From start to finish, it is awesome. It is my favorite thing to happen in Star Wars since stuff that happened in The Last Jedi. And I think it has solidified The Mandalorian as a really fun Star Wars TV show. If it's going to do stuff like that, it's serving its purpose in a really fucking awesome and profound way. And I actually love that it's Mark Hamill. I wish they made the digital effect better and just invested the money, because I think it, I truly do think it could have looked better. I understand that money is a thing, time is a thing, and it's a television show, not a movie with $100 million budget. But it was, I couldn't believe what I was seeing, and it was fucking spectacular. And it served, it was truly, it's so complicated and great how it ends like that, because you know where Grogu's going with Luke, you know he's going to be safe with Luke, but you also know what happens on Luke's journey now. So there's like this sort of fear about Baby Yoda, and also Mando without Baby Yoda. But overall, man, I can't believe we got that. And yeah, it's really, really
safe,
cool.
Say fish.
He's, well, we know, let me put it this way. Fucking no one from the Empire is going to go knocking on Luke's door right now to get him back.
Right.
Like the only person who's going to fuck with Luke is Ben Solo. So that we'll get to that. But I thought it was fantastic.
It almost gives that more weight. It almost gives The Last Jedi and that whole where we know Luke ends up like even more weight. It's weird.
100%. 100%. What were you going to say, Cisco?
I have a thought about the CGI. I hated it too. I absolutely loved the episode and it didn't take me out of it in any way, but I don't like that it's CGI either, but I 100% agree that I'm glad that they got it to be Mark Hamill one last time out of respect for him. And going forward, if they recast it, I hope they do recast it, because I don't want to see that ever again. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think even movies with $100 million budget get that right ever.
No,
they just don't. It doesn't. The technology isn't there. The deep fakes look good because the quality of the video is always shitty. You know, it's always grainy. It's always like, you know, 720 at best or something like that. It's not HD. It's not, you know, ultra HD 4K.
They're not lightsaber fighting fucking 50 stormtroopers. It's not a bunch of.
You can do that. You can do that and do the face. But as soon as they start zooming in on close-ups and having them talk, you know, when you're looking at that scene and he's talking and his upper lip doesn't move, it's just like, it's a computer game. Like, it doesn't look right.
But it also has this weird effect that's sort of like when you go to the Hall of Presidents at Disneyland.
Yeah, it just
doesn't. Uncanny Valley.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. So that being said, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Because the rest of that episode is so fucking good that minor complaint, in my opinion, from me, you know, that minor complaint doesn't affect my enjoyment of it in any way. But I 100% hope that in the future, if we're going to have Luke, that it be a different actor.
I think that I wasn't like angry that it wasn't Sebastian Stan. I just kept asking myself, they were making such a thing of the face reveal. Now, obviously, that's one, saves them a ton of money if the whole time they can have a stunt double doing the lightsaber fighting. And then it's this big thing. I think they were hoping that it would be like, holy shit, it's Mark Hamill, you know? But I think what they ended up getting was maybe the inverse, which was like, ooh.
Like, I think it just kind of looks like the Battlefront Mark Hamill. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
It totally looks like Battlefront Luke.
And this is the other thing. There's nothing wrong with criticizing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, these people on Twitter that are just like, I didn't even notice it. It looked totally fine to me. Totally.
You're a liar.
Right. Hold on. Those people exist?
You either watched it on your phone in like, you know, 360, you know what I'm saying, on YouTube or something, or you're just lying because you want people to like you better. It's okay to criticize the things that you love. I mean, that's not a bad thing. It's not black and white. It's not saying like, oh, this thing that I really, really love that entertained me to like beyond mention, I have one little thing that I think could have been a little bit better maybe, or, you know, could be done better in the future. That doesn't make you a bad person or mean that your opinion is as valid. It's like, just be honest, man. Like, it doesn't look good. But it didn't look good when it was the Carrie Fisher one in Rogue One. And thankfully that happened for like 2 seconds at the end of the movie. And you walk out of the theater without even thinking about it. You're like, oh, it's fine. And then when you watch it on TV, it's like, it doesn't really look that good.
But, yeah. You know what
I mean? But Cisco, the bees, they sting, man. They sting.
Oh, that's why. Look, I'm much less invested in this any fandom, especially social media fandom, than either of you are. I don't care. I couldn't care less about anybody's opinion. So, you know, I watch this shit and my reaction is just my reaction. And then I'm going to put it out there exactly like how it is. And people, if they disagree with me or not, it doesn't matter. If you agree with me, great. If you don't, I couldn't care less. It doesn't matter one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm also not going to debate anybody about it. Like, I'm not trying to change anybody's mind or change their opinion on something. Yeah. If you don't like it, then that's totally valid. You cannot like something. You know what I mean? We don't always have to agree on shit.
I think it's
not a competition of like who likes things the most.
Once I realized how much I liked the episode, and then I just found myself kind of poking around and seeing how people were reacting, and you know, you just get a temperature of what the response is. I think I noticed a real problem, and I tweeted about it. And let me pull up my thing, because I would never read like a tweet of mine on the show. But where's my mouse? Here we go. I just wanted to something about like maybe I didn't even articulate it well, but there was something that really struck me about the way people were behaving when it came to this episode.
It was terrible.
And I think it's something, I think I've noticed something about fandom. And this is what I said. Having your fandom acknowledged isn't a contest. If this stuff defines your life to a point where you feel slighted by narrative choices, like showing a character or nodding to another, it's time to reexamine your fandom. I found it really, really, really disheartening that people were like upset that people got to see Jedi Luke. They were truly like, there were people that were like, it's a slap in the face to Last Jedi. How dare they please those people that like that character? It should have been Ezra. It doesn't make any sense. It should have been this. It should have been that. And I just was like, you know, that it frustrates me, because, you know, that would be like me being like, who fucking cares about Clone Wars? Who the fuck wants Ahsoka? You know what I mean? It's the same thing.
I hate to break it to those people, but that's literally what probably 90% of humanity thinks. Like, they couldn't care less about your little cartoon fandom. Sorry. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give two shits about Ezra. I don't even know who that character is, because I've never watched that cartoon and I probably never will. I think he's probably a cool character, and I'm glad that you love him. That's great. But like, the the very base reality is more people are familiar with a character like Luke Skywalker than ever will be familiar with Bo-Katan or fucking Ezra or any of the other characters from the cartoon that you like. I'm sorry. Like, it sucks to hear that maybe, but like, enjoy your fandom to the maximum amount. I'm glad that you love those characters. Love them with all your heart, but stop pretending that they're somehow more important somehow because you love them than like a character that is beloved by a way bigger fandom than just your little tiny corner of the universe.
I just think that what was disheartening about it for me was like, there's always a pocket that wants to fucking piss in the pot. And I just found myself going, I'm done with that. I don't want to be a part of it anymore. Right. I really don't. I just want to love what I love and I want to enjoy what I enjoy. And that's that. I just don't need to hear anyone else's opinion about what good Star Wars is anymore. I just don't. Only my friends off of the microphone.
But even then, like the three of us disagree on movies
constantly,
on opinions constantly. Of movies. And guess what? I love Rise of the Skywalker and I still do. And I disagree with you guys about your opinions of it, but who gives a shit? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm not here to tell you guys are fucking stupid for not liking it. And I'm definitely not going to let your guys' opinions of it affect my enjoyment of it. You know what I'm saying? Totally. And the same thing comes to The Last Jedi. I love The Last Jedi too. I have big problems with that movie, but the major parts of it that I enjoy, I really like that movie. It has nothing to do with what happened in The Mandalorian. Comparing the two of them makes no sense.
But they're also wrong. Like, they're absolutely wrong. It's just right. Like, in terms of this saying that it's negating or it's a fucking spitting in Rian Johnson's face or fucking, then you got the people on the other side that are like, see, you just have to listen to the fans. This is all we've been screaming about. But you go and give us old man Luke and fucking Jedi. And it's like, you guys are all on all of these sides. You're all fucking wrong in terms of the story here. Like,
yeah. So the whole time they're crying about fan service, they're mad because their fandom isn't being serviced, right? Like, they're saying like, oh, I wanted this because that's my fandom and I didn't get it. So I'm mad that you got your fan service. That's insane. It's insane.
But I also think in terms of the story of Luke Skywalker here, they're both being serviced here in the long run of the hero's journey. And that what fucking we got to see in Mandalorian only reinforced fucking Luke going, look, thought I was the fucking savior of the galaxy.
Right.
Unfortunately, I was fucking wrong. And it's like, we've never seen that part from between Jedi and obviously to where we finally catch up with him in Last Jedi. Like, we only know what he's talked about. To be able to see someone who in Mandalorian is so confident and comes in there and fucking does his thing and chops these motherfuckers up and is like, Grogu, you ready?
Right.
And like, I'm gonna take care of him. It's like, they're both wrong.
I think that unfortunately, because of the discourse, not the movie, okay? The discourse that happened around The Last Jedi post the movie coming out, it has tainted everybody's ability to discuss anything regarding Star Wars anymore, right? Which is a part of the reason why I don't engage in any of it. Because nobody is able to talk about this shit rationally, right? Everything has to be as extreme as possible. You either absolutely love something with all your heart and it's the greatest thing you've ever seen, or it's a fucking pile of shit and you're a fucking idiot if you like it. And that's ridiculous. That's not how reality works. That's not how human beings work. That's not how people talk to each other in real life. That's just how weirdos talk to each other on social media. And yeah. I hate to say it, you guys, if you're listening to this right now and something that I'm saying is tilting you or offending you in some way, get off your fucking phone, turn it off, turn off your social media, get off of it forever, and go out and talk to somebody in real life with a mask 6 feet away from each other, because this way of online discourse is not the way. It's the opposite of what the Mandalorians would say. This is not the way. This ain't the way.
Yeah, I think it's crazy to me that the discourse for the last, you hit the nail fucking, like, you smacked it with a hammer, Cisco. The discourse around that movie has made it incredibly hard to like what you like and dislike what you dislike, right? Because people have shown, it's not everybody, but specific pockets of fandom have shown that they are incapable of having nuanced discussions about this kind of pop culture because it's fused with your identity and who you are as a person, right? Right? And this is not a pass for fucking asshole, racist, shithead, homophobic, fucking pieces of shit that are going at Kelly Marie Tran. That's not the same. That is not the same as like, you're an idiot for wanting Luke. That's not the same, right? There's a big difference between being bummed out about what happened in The Rise of Skywalker and being racist. They're not the same. So let's have a little bit of fucking subtlety in our conversations about it. And I don't think people do think they're the same, but I think there's a pocket here that's like, if you talk bad about it, you're in with the anti-Disney people, or you're in with the shitheads who hate The Last Jedi. Or if you're like, yeah, Luke was awesome. Oh my gosh, how could you do that? They're just placating to those people. And it's like, they're not doing any of that. Let me say something here as just like one of the things I realized after that episode. And I've always known this. This show and Star Wars is all about money. And Luke Skywalker moves fucking units. Luke Skywalker moves units. Baby Yoda moves units. Luke Skywalker and Baby Yoda in books move units.
Boba Fett moves units.
Boba Fett. We're not even to motherfucking Boba Fett yet. But Luke getting fucking Grogu with Luke Skywalker doing a bunch of Jedi shit moves units. Period. It makes sense narratively. It looks super cool. And it left us in a really interesting place. And this guy, Alden Diaz, or AD_Strider, posted a really great thread about how this episode serves The Last Jedi. They are not in contrast. He is 1,000% correct. After we finished our Harry Potter marathon, Sarah and I jumped into the sequel trilogy. We watched Force Awakens. Lights out fucking movie. So good. Then we started The Last Jedi. And the both of us were like, this movie's really good while we were watching it. I was like, this movie, I always forget how good it is because of the nonsense around it. And while Luke was on it, I kept thinking about The Mandalorian. I kept thinking about it. Every time he was like, what am I going to do? Face off the whole First Order with a laser sword? I kept thinking about The Mandalorian. It's like, saw him do it. He could do it if he wanted to, though. Like, if Luke wanted to, he could do it right now. So there's clearly more going on, right? It was great. It was fun. It is The Mandalorian the best Star Wars I've ever seen? Absolutely not. It's not even close. Is Mandalorian fun? Yes. Is it the Star Wars we probably all need right now? Yes. And it is. I think everybody got a little something this season. And I think to complain and nitpick is silliness because everybody got something. Unless you're like, holy fuck, I ride or die for fucking Ki-Adi Mundi. And they didn't fucking bring back Ki-Adi Mundi. Like, I get it. But everybody, the sequel trilogy, the prequel trilogy, and the original trilogy, every single pocket of fandom got a little something. And this show is doing a lot of really great things. And I, as the credits rolled, normally I would turn it right off, but I'm glad I stayed because we got an end credit sequence. Is this the first Star Wars end credit sequence in the history of the franchise? I believe it is.
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so. I can't think of another one.
So we open on now. This is not a part of the Luke episode. So I'm going to have some criticisms of this. Like, So let's be honest. Chubby Bib Fortuna was kind of whacktastic. Am I right? It was like the only one who was like, what is happening here?
It was very out of the Clone Wars cartoon.
It was a little silly, right? What did you think of Chubby Bib Fortuna, Cisco?
It didn't bother me, but I also I see what you guys are saying, but it didn't bother me.
It's not like I was like, this is stupid. I was laughing. I was like, oh my god, Bib Fortuna's gaining weight like Jabba.
But that's why it's so funny. Hilarious. When Boba does what he does to him.
Straight up. Great.
Yep.
So obviously Fennec comes down. Fennec shoots everybody. Boba comes down. Dome's out right in his bubble guts, right in his little belly. Lets him know, you fat motherfucker. Fucking shoots him right in the stomach. Knocks him off the throne. Sits down. Straight up like Mandalorian porn. Sits there just like a G. Fennec leans up, drinking
grabs
some.
Grabs her cocktail.
Grabs a cocktail and she's like, what are we getting up to now, bitch? Turning on some pod racing or what? Like, she and him, they just looked cool. Then it flashes the Book of Boba Fett 2021, which is already looking up for 2021. It's already looking up for us.
And now we do know for sure that it's not part of Mando season 3. It's its own thing.
It's actually already been filming and they're wrapping it up here soon.
So yeah. I was fully under the impression. I was like, it's for sure going to be Mando 3 will be Mando 3 and 4 will be the Book of Boba Fett. And then then they'll go back to Bo-Katan and Mando for basically seasons 5 and 6. And then who knows what they'll do from there.
Right.
That's what I thought. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, no, you guys just reminded me of something. So does that mean Mando is technically now the leader of Mandalore?
Yes. The Mandalorian. Din is now the leader of Mandalore.
So now, because of all the Luke hoopla, I do feel like big moments like that, and even his goodbye to Grogu to a sense, did not get the full impactful experience that those moments deserved.
That's why you got to watch it again.
Exactly. Well, no, and I watched it again and was like,
right.
No, I was able to do that again. Yeah. It's, but at the same time.
But that's not unlike what happens in the movies, right?
No,
when you watch
right.
a movie for the first time, all the big action kind of.
No, you're right.
Shadows you're right. all of the difference. Small character
but, moments. But the difference being is that this show is called The Mandalorian and it's about The Mandalorian. And for two seasons, we have followed these two characters, especially to this journey, to this moment right here. And we were more like fucking holy shit by the fucking person that showed up in the end over these two people.
I disagree with that.
Right. I disagree too, because the moment that you're talking about, the emotional moment.
They hold on that shit for like a minute.
After all of the Luke stuff.
Yeah.
So it like, if you're paying attention, and listen, I was losing my shit throughout the entire Luke thing, and I was able to sit there and quietly like take in the moment and still get emotional about it. So I don't necessarily think that. I mean, maybe like, I don't know what they're saying on Twitter. No, Mania,
this was my first experience the first time watching it, and then the second time I was able to really zero in on that emotional core. But my point being is that some people are not going to watch it a second time. A lot of people aren't.
Yes. Well, sorry. I mean, I don't know that that's even necessarily a fair assessment of like what everybody's reaction is, because you know that your first reaction was based on something else that was going on with you. You had gotten it ruined for you and you were in your own head about a lot of different things. So like, I don't know that everybody's experience is going to
relate. Yeah. Remember the chemistry. The chemistry. Everybody's in.
I understand that was your experience and that's valid, but I'm not saying that I don't necessarily believe that that's what the wide people's experience was, because everybody that I talked to, not one person mentioned that. And everybody was like, oh, this moment, you know, with Din and Grogu was great. So like, I don't know that it really got overshadowed as much as you might think it did. For you, I'm sure it did. Yeah, fair. But I'm saying, like, for everybody else, I don't know.
I would say this, like, I think it's very similar to Vader in Rogue One. I think most people would probably say that Vader in Rogue One is the coolest, like, kind of the part you always wait for when you watch Rogue One. Right? You're like, here comes the Vader hallway. Yeah, man, he's fucking slicing these dudes up. He's throwing them on the ceiling. He's slicing them in half. Like, it's just a really, really cool part. But I do think, though, once you get past the weirdness of Luke's CG face and we get into the like Grogu handoff, I think that it was like, I think they really did let you know, hey, this is a big moment that like the Mando's losing the child. Like, he's giving him up. This is a big thing. So I think
this is why having a discussion about these things is more important than getting off quick 140 character tweets, right?
Yeah.
Like, because then of course, what are the tweets going to be about? The one thing that is like everybody was shocked by. Nobody's going to be like, well, I'm not going to say nobody, but it's not going to be that popular for people to be like, that sweet moment between Mando. That's like something that has to be talked about organically within, like, in a nuanced way. It's like, it's something more than just like, this was a fucking crazy action experience that I didn't expect. So it's like, it's not that weird to me that like that, that the Luke thing is the thing that people are focused on. Same way that Alex just said, the reason why when people were walking out of Rogue One, what was everybody talking about? They weren't talking about like, oh, how great Diego Luna's performance was, right? Even though it was, and all of the characters were amazing. They're talking about the moment that like they got left with at the end of that movie that was so incredible. But when you talk about it in the long run, you're like, that was something like the cherry on top of this amazing thing that I got to see.
I think that if you look at, also, it's important to look at the season as a whole. That's a big part of it too. It's not like you can always just go back and watch Mando 1 through chapter 16 or whatever, and you can get all your Mando baby Yoda moments and then watch that again. And then you realize, oh shit, you've got, you know, this really profound moment when he's taken. I actually think maybe even more so than the Luke stuff, I actually wouldn't disagree that the Book of Boba Fett announcement kind of did maybe a little bit of that, just a little, not like super distracting, but I do think it's interesting that like now everybody's like, Book of Boba Fett! It's like, and Mandalorian was basically like the answer to Boba Fett, because they weren't going to do a Boba Fett thing. And now because they've seen how successful Mandalorian is, they're like, fuck it, let's do a Boba Fett show. So I think for a little bit, maybe the Book of Boba Fett announcement did that, but I don't think that it was distracting from the Mando Baby Yoda moment. I don't know. What do you think, Steve?
Boba Fett moves units. That's what I think.
Boba Fett does move units.
Well, and listen, this is also true. I talked to a lot of people after watching this episode, and many of them are much younger than me, and they don't really care about Boba, right? Like, they think he's cool, you know, especially now because of what the way that he's been depicted in Mandalorian, but they didn't grow up playing with the Boba Fett figure like I did as a kid, right? And so like that's why I thought he was cool. And yeah. So that, and the announcement is from the reactions that I got from people when talking about it, they were just like, so what is Book of Boba going to be about? Like, is he going to be versus Mando? Like, what's going to be happening? And I'm like, I have no idea. Can't wait to see it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what that means. It seems like they're setting him up to be like the head of this underworld or whatever now. I don't know what that means in his relationship to Din. Who knows?
Well, did you guys watch the Good Morning America interview?
Mm-hmm.
I did. So it sounds like what it is we're going to get the Book of Boba Fett in December, and Mandalorian's actually taking a year-long break. So we're not getting a Mandalorian season next year.
Right.
So we're getting Book of Boba Fett, and then Mando's coming back, which I think is an interesting approach. I think it's actually kind of cool and smart to kind of like not let this stuff get stale and give it some space between seasons so you get excited for stuff, and kind of do the movie approach where it's like, all right, you got to take 2 years off and we're going to come back. The Stranger Things does it really well because they have kids. They can't shoot like adult television shows. So they got to take like huge chunks of time off because they only shoot, 4 hours to 6 hours a day on a show like that. So that's why it takes so long. So I think that this is a cool approach. Are you guys excited for the Book of Boba Fett? How do you feel about this? Based off the tease you've seen and now knowing that Robert Rodriguez is our boy coming in to do it, how do we feel?
I'm excited for it. I'm not going to lie. I hear the title and I kind of go, that's an interesting choice. But at the end of the day, like, I didn't expect it's to like I, it's Boba Fett, but I also didn't like I didn't expect to like The Mandalorian necessarily as much as I have. And I think that something I've realized with the announcement and whatnot is I feel like for the first time since Disney acquired Lucasfilm, I personally feel like maybe this medium is the right medium to build out the universe for the mainstream audience that may not be into Clone Wars and may not be into that other stuff, with a lesser risk if they tried to do it like as a big budget movie. And so I'm excited to see, because it just feels like they're really able to play with this universe and galaxy and play with it in a way that I don't know that they necessarily, it just almost feels like it's not that it's less precious, but it feels like they're more game to do some things that they haven't been maybe with the movies. And so it takes a little bit of the pressure off if it doesn't work. I don't know.
Yeah. Thoughts on that, Cisco?
Agree. I think that it gives them a little bit more room to breathe, right? So like having multiple episodes, having, you know, 8 hours or whatever, you know, about approximately 8 hours to tell a story as opposed to two when you want to introduce a bunch of new characters is pretty good. I mean, I think that's a positive thing for storytelling. And it lets you introduce new characters like a Bill Burr, right? That you can let evolve from like this kind of surfacey little like comedic sidekick to being this like impactful emotional character. And so you never know what they're going to be able to do. I don't know what the show is going to be like. I hope it's going to be fun, just like I do hope all of this is going to be fun. I really like Temuera Morrison as an actor, so I'm excited to see him. I love Ming-Na Wen. She's been great, you know, in this second season. And so I'm excited to see more of her. And I'm excited to see more of like what they're going to be up to, you know, in the Book of Boba. I, for one, love Book of Eli, so I think Book of Boba is a cool name. It just, you know, makes me feel like we're hearing a lot of tales out of like it reminds me of like Greek mythology, right? Or like the Bible or whatever. So like the Book of whatever just is like a story, a self-contained story that I think could be cool. The name doesn't bother me. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think that I'm just going to say, I'm going to vocalize this because I've been now watching the movies after we finished Mandalorian. I've been looking just to get inspired for 2021 and get excited about creativity, and Star Wars around the holidays is always a good place to start. I definitely, and this is like saying, man, I'm a big fan of pizza, but I think I'm just going to say it. Like, I like my Star Wars on the big screen, like hands down. I like it epic. I like it about light and the dark and the Jedi, and I like the drama of the movies, the smaller stakes of the smaller screen doesn't resonate with me as much. I like it. I think it's really good. This Luke moment was as close to the feeling I got of being a kid with my Jedi Luke power of the Force that I've ever had. I want to read you guys, I'm not going to say, so don't ask me who this is from, but I got a text from somebody that I think really sums up my feeling on The Mandalorian. And it was, so let me, without saying, I was like, did you dig Luke? And they went, so, exclamation point. Like, and I went, oh, that's an interesting, I just thought like, so, exclamation point was an interesting way to respond to it. And then they said, it's like everything else on the show. The fact that it is so cool and it never goes beyond that. It's like a good but not great children's cartoon. Mostly fun, but incredibly reliable. A little uninspired, but occasionally fucking rad. The show is comfortingly medium. Always a mistake to look to it for greatness. But there's a greatness in its mediumness. And I'm not joking when I say that. It's fun that it is what it is. And it's fun that Luke shows up, etc. I honestly don't think it's even trying to be anything more than that. I think it's a really great show. And I thought that was a really interesting, like, basically what he says is like, We know what the show is.
Right.
That's what the show is. So stop expecting it.
And I'll be honest.
Anything else?
If I'm being honest, like pulling no punches, I think that everything that that person said is, and by the way, I'm not going to, it doesn't take me very long to figure out who that probably is, but everything that that person said for me applies to the entire Star Wars universe of movies.
Yes.
None of them are great cinema. They are fun as fuck and enjoyable and resonate with me because I'm a nerd and I grew up with them. But none of them are going into on the Mount Rushmore of amazing movies that, you know, everybody in the world needs to see, right? Like, I'm not so arrogant to say that that has to be true for everybody. I'm not going to say that, like, I don't even know what the movies are, but I know what Star Wars is for me. It's not the thing that defines my life. It's not the thing that makes me who I am. Like, I know that people like to say that about me, right? They're like, oh, he loves Star Wars because, you know, I do this podcast and like all of that shit. And I do. That's not a lie. I fucking do love Star Wars. My daughter is, her middle name is from a Star Wars character or a sequel trilogy Star Wars character. So that's not by accident, right? And, but that I'm not delusional. Like, I can also acknowledge the fact that it's popcorn too. Really fucking good popcorn.
Yeah. I think I agree with everything you're saying, Cisco. And I think one of the, as we kind of bring this back into a 2020 recap, right? As we move into 2021 and we kind of put maybe the last 4 years behind us and put this last year really behind us, I feel like one of the things I really want to try to do is not let my love of things sort of define how I feel about my connection to them, if that makes sense. So like
100%.
I just don't, I don't like that I watched it and I went meh first because
right.
You know what I mean? I didn't let myself have joy for it because I knew it. I knew instantly what everyone was going to say. And I instantly started coming up with my hot take. Am I this? Am I that? Am I this? And I was like, what am I fucking doing?
Right.
I want more than anything. Truly more than anything I want in this world, in this life. Now, there's things I want in a more profound way than this, but one of the things I want more than anything is to see my name in blue over a star field. That's all I want. I want to be in the credits of a fucking Star Wars thing. And when I watch them, they inspire me creatively and that's it.
Yeah.
They inspire me to be a creative and tell stories.
That's a really good thing.
And that's all I need them to be. And that's what they are. They are never going to define me to the point where I need, where like whether or not fucking Luke shows up and winks and cuts Dexter Jetster in half and the Emperor shows up and Mace Windu's there playing fucking Mahjong with Yaddle. I don't need it.
Well, that is something that I should clarify too, because I loved the Luke appearance at the end of the episode, it wasn't something that I needed, right? Like I've loved all of his, the versions of Luke that I've gotten so far in the movies. I loved him throughout the original trilogy. I loved him in The Last Jedi. And so if we never got this, I would still love that character as much as I always have. I'm so happy that I got to see this cool thing. And it added to the things that I love about the character. But like, it doesn't move the bar on him in any way for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't raise or lower my fandom of him because it happened. It's just something that's added to it that I like.
Yeah. What about you, Steve?
Well, it's funny. I had a very similar realization as you, Alex, after sort of my experience with this episode in particular and sort of the 48 hours I had. It made me realize that even though I was sort of like, I don't even dare to call myself a cinephile. I've just, movies have always been my thing. But it wasn't until really I started doing this show that I kind of looked at Star Wars through a critical eye. It was always something I just loved, even if I didn't maybe like the prequels so much, but I never really looked at it as a, from a film critique or a story sense or anything like that. I just knew that it wasn't for me. But at the end of the day, Star Wars in general was just like, I always looked at it as something that I loved and had fun with. And over the last 4 or 5 years, and this is not a complaint, this is not a bad thing, I started to look at it more with a critical eye, having to talk about it more and everything, that I kind of had to check myself with this particular episode where I went, wait a minute, dude, you just saw Luke Skywalker fucking tear through all these people. You just saw Boba Fett fucking kill Bib Fortuna and sit on a throne. Like,
yeah, seriously.
Like, 12-year-old you right now would be fucking in heaven. What are you talking about?
That's like literally, like, imagine not eating for fucking
right
2 fucking years and someone handing you a pizza and being like, I don't like pizza.
Right.
Why are you giving me pizza? But you used to love pizza. I haven't had it in a while, and I don't think I want it now.
I've been thinking about the McRib in that way for a long time. But you know what, Steve? Let me say this about what you just said. It's not a bad thing to be critical of stuff, right? I'm not saying that you think it is or whatever, but I don't think that you being critical of the movies or looking at them in a critical way is a bad thing. I think that that's good. It's something that's going to happen to everybody as they age, right? Like, your opinion of something shouldn't be the same as what it was when you were 12. But being able to recognize, like, oh, my 12-year-old self would have lost their shit seeing this is something cool. But also at the same time, measuring that with, like, I'm a 38-year-old person now, and my opinion of it is different than what it would have been if I was another age when I watched it. And that's how all stuff is consumed, right? Like, that's why things that we consume when we're kids resonate with us for a long time into our adulthood and into our, you know, older ages, is because, you know, they resonated with us during a certain period in our lives, and so they're more meaningful for us, right? Like, I think that's not that weird. Like, that's how human beings work, at least the people who consume this kind of entertainment this way. And so it's totally fine, man. Like, it's fine to look at stuff and be like, yeah, that didn't quite work for me, and these are the reasons why, right? Like, that's the important thing, in my opinion, is saying something doesn't work for me because of A, B, C, and D. Not just like, didn't like it, out of here. Like, that's...
Would have been better if you did it my way.
Yeah, would have been better if... Like, that to me is like, that's nothing. That means nothing. Everybody does that. But, like, being able to think... be thoughtful about something is way more interesting to me, and have a discussion in this way where we can be like, yeah, these are the reasons why I felt this way. And then maybe my opinion changed. Maybe it didn't in the long run, or after multiple viewings or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, all of those things are real.
I feel you, dog.
Nux.
Boom. Everybody. Nux all around. So as we wrap up 2020, I just want to say this year has been hard for a lot. We talked a lot about all the good stuff that happened, and we don't need to get into, because honestly, the beginning of 2021 is not going to be much different, right? We still got a long ways to go before the three of us are sitting in a theater again together, and we're recording this in the same room. We've got quite a bit more episodes to do the way we're doing them, but it's kind of wild to think 2020 ended with Jedi Luke landing on a Star Destroyer and slicing up a bunch of big buff robot stormtroopers. Oh, I have to say it, because criticism is okay. Them fucking Rock'em Sock'em robots on the door was the dumbest shit I've ever fucking seen.
They look like Rock'em Sock'em robots.
They kind of look like that in Cylons from Battlestar.
That shit was lame. And let me tell you why it's lame. Because we've established that almost every droid has that little thing that R2-D2 has to, like, open doors. So you're telling me, because I know K2SO has one, you're fucking telling me that you made these super badass Robo Future droids and didn't give them a way to open doors other than punch them down.
They have to be thinker droids, not punch your face in droids.
True. I'm just saying they do live on that ship. So they didn't give them any sort of, like, ability to open doors other than, can you imagine, like, one doesn't get in and he's like, oh shit, I'm locked out. well, there's only one thing I can do now. Just starts punching the break room open. They're like, fucking Jim, dude, you punched the door down. He's like, oh, I don't have a key. Fucking Moff Gideon didn't give me a key.
it was just there to remind the audience that, like, hey, don't forget this Beskar. Like,
it's real.
It's real.
This Beskar is hardcore. You got to punch it. You can punch it open with it.
He had to be concussed. Come on, let's keep it real.
Bro, he got hit hard. That dude's got mashed.
He's got bad CT now.
Straight up, dude's got mashed potato brains. I guarantee you.
Well, when they took his mask off in the first season, when he got all bashed up, he took his helmet off. He was all bloody on his head. I was expecting that again when he took his helmet off this time.
What if he just, like, they pulled it off and he straight up had a huge swollen eye? And there was like, why'd they make him swollen? Then you all remember, oh shit, that's right, because it's head got fucking bashed in. No, dude, you know, like, what happens right after it is, like, they get on, like, the ship, the little Imperial ship, and they leave, and he just pukes.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm tired, and they're like, dude, you can't sleep.
You can't sleep, bro.
You can't sleep, dude. You have to stay up. We have to get you to a doctor, bro. You might have a concussion. He's just got, they go into, like, Mando's perspective, and just, like,
pouring out of his ears.
Halos around his eyes. He's like, it's like golden halos around his eyes. He's like, wait, what happened? They're like, dude, you lost your kid. What are you talking about? You gave your kid to a stranger. Man, I got punched so hard in the face. I didn't know what I was doing.
You guys didn't even see it. I got my head pushed into it.
Did we win?
This is the conversation we needed to be having about that episode. He just goes, my brain, when he gets on the ship, my brain hurts. And they're like, oh, dude.
When he was saying goodbye to Grogu, he's like, none of that. He's going to be like, Grogu went where? What happened?
Grogu? He's going to be like, who the fuck's Grogu?
Oh, you mean Baby Yoda?
What if it ended on, like, they were like, hey, Mando, are you okay? We know you got punched a lot. You gave your son to that stranger. And he went,
who?
Who? And it went, ba-don't, ba-don't. It just ended on him not knowing who Grogu was.
It's like the really quizzical look in his face.
Like, it's like super concussed. And then instead of Boba Fett on the throne, it was like a medical droid looking at his charts. It was just blood clots.
It's just like not
all
good.
Over his brain.
Not good. Get him into a back.
Like, he's like, I don't know how to fucking tell you this, dude, but if you don't stop, you're going to die.
All of a sudden Din is Rocky. He's just like, yeah. One more fight and you're dead.
Yeah, then you just see him and Grief Karga running down the beach together. And Grief Karga's like, ding, ding, and then punches him in the face, and it's the end. With that being said, 2020 was quite the year. I'm ready for 2021. I'm ready for more minty fresh Star Wars. I'm ready for all kinds of pop culture stuff that's going to get thrown our way. If you guys are listening at home, if you've made it this far, I just want to say having this platform to meet up with these guys and talk on this microphone, knowing that there are people out there that are enjoying it as much as we enjoy doing it, has meant the year to me. It means the world to us. If we've been able to give you a little bit of escape in what has been an incredibly difficult year, we consider that to be the only thing that matters. We have made a concerted effort to get off social media and to only have our opinions and basically our interaction with this fandom comes on this show for our mental health. And hopefully you can see that it comes through how much we love you guys and we want you to have another great year with us. So with that being said, for the last time in 2020, Cisco, where can the people find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram, Cisco Kid with 2D77. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Love you. Thank you for listening. Even if I don't agree with you and you don't agree with me, it's all good. We can still be friends. Rock on 2021.
Big Papa Bear Steve, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Rex Manning. You can also find me on Letterboxd. But more importantly, I should have done this at the top of the show. If you've liked this show and you've listened this far, why don't you leave us a review or, I don't know, 5 stars, bitch? But no, seriously, thank you. Thank you for sticking with us. I love doing the show, and like Cisco said, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays. Stay safe, wear a mask, and we'll see you in 2021.
You guys can find me at Alex_Backus on Twitter or Alex Backus on Instagram. I'm also, you know, I'm on Strava. You know, I'm on Letterboxd. I'm getting fit. I'm reviewing movies. Then I'm watching movies. Then I'm getting fit. I'm going each way, baby. I'm either fit or I'm watching movies.
When do you fit time in for coffee?
Always after a ride. It's a cycling thing.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what I did have, though, before we put the final touches on this episode. I did have a peppermint mocha. You guys should really try one. It's delicious. With that being said, guys, it's an adult thing. I'm a coffee drinker. We'll see you in 2021. Laters.
Guys, I'm here at Pixar. I'm about to go in, start working on a collaboration project with Pixar. Just kidding, man. I don't play that soft little baby shit, man. That's Satan all day, that evil Satan stuff, heavy metal shit, man. I don't fuck around with that little baby shit.